Welcome to the North Rock Church Podcast. For more great content and updates, visit northrockchurch.com. Enjoy the message.
Boy, happy Easter, everybody. And it's so good to see you. And so many of you I don't know. And I'm sorry about that and really happy about that at the same time. It's so good to be with you and to celebrate Easter with you. Dee is with me here, and give it up for her. And I speak in churches all over our district all the time, but I'm always really amped and excited and overly nervous when I come here, and it's just the way it is. And I have to say, and this is the honest truth, is that the best pastors in our whole six-state district are Chad and Jody Carroll. I mean, besides... Well, I mean, mostly Jody, but still, it's good. And what happened with Cameron and Caitlin? I mean, what happened to the little girls? I mean, it's just, wow. You know, my oldest just turned 31. I'm not even 31. Well, I want to start today by turning to a verse of Scripture, because after all, it is Easter. So let's turn to John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 14, and I think it's going to be up here, and there it is. But before we reread it, let me just tell you a little something about the Gospel of John. Matthew, Mark, and Luke were written by Jews, primarily written to the Jews. The Jews knew the demography and the geography and the culture of the Jews and the Romans and the language. They knew the characters. And these writers knew that if they just told the story of what Jesus did, the gospel would be there and it would be laid out and everyone would understand it. And with a little help from our friends, we can understand it today. Is everybody out there? John was written a little later, and already the gospel was going to other languages and other cultures. And he knew that he had to universalize or to tell the story of Jesus with a little bigger picture in mind so everybody could understand it. You know what I'm talking about. And today, Greek scholars spend their entire careers, I'm not exaggerating, Greek scholars spend their entire careers studying John chapter 1. Because John was so good at taking just a few words and a few ideas and wringing out sometimes chapters that we would find in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and wringing them out, and just in a few drops, he would explain the whole gospel. He, in just a few words, it was so elegant and so poetic and so theologically deep that we could basically see the whole gospel in sometimes one sentence. And you might guess that's the sentence I want to use today in John chapter 1, verse 14. Wow, what a coincidence. But really, this verse is Christmas and Easter and almost everything in between. And Chad says, I have till noon. Oh, that's the second service. So there it is, and why don't we, it's fairly short, why don't we read this together? Read with me. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. Stop. Wow! In other words, not only did He become flesh, material, human flesh, but the next line actually explains a little more. It says, you know, He didn't become flesh to live in a palace somewhere. I'm the king, I'm God. But He actually dwells among us. Another version says He set up shop. No, it doesn't. It says He moved into the neighborhood. It does say that. He became like us in every way. Can somebody say amen? Amen. That's a big deal. The Word became flesh, dwelling among us. Okay, let's start again. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Wow. You know, when I think of Easter, I think of when I was a kid, my brother Jeff is here. Give it up for Jeff. We really didn't, it's a long story, I won't tell it, but we didn't really start going to church like teenagers because our parents didn't really go to church then. But when we were kids, we went to church on Christmas and Easter. Mostly Easter. Sometimes Christmas. That's the truth. And at least back in those days, and at least from, you know, my mother's orders, when we went to church on Easter, we had a suit. I mean a suit. A white shirt and a tie and polished black shoes. But the thing that and in fact, when I was a kid, I had this whole collection that my mother brought of little, they're like wool Frank Sinatra hats. And all the pictures of me when I was a kid, I had one of these, you know, fedora, little fedora things, and we wore those. I don't know why. And the other thing I remember is that my mother would comb my hair by spitting on her fingers and putting on my hair. Why am I saying that? I don't know. It's just... So my spiritual experience of Easter was that my perception was I walked around smelling like my mother's saliva. That was my entire spiritual experience. I had to wear a suit and her saliva was all over my head. And I'm not meddling. I don't know most of you, but part of what I want to say is we celebrate the great divine rising, and we celebrate this great sacred day, but we all come together today with all of our lives a little bit of a mess. You know, some of us on the way to church today, maybe we're couples, we probably fought on the way to church. No, none of you did. I said, oh, you're also quiet. I don't know what you mean. You know, we fight at church. We try to get our kids ready, but the fact is maybe some of them haven't had a bath in 5 days. That's okay. We have unresolved stuff. We have bills that need to be paid. Come on. We have conflicts in our lives. We have health issues. The fact is, no matter how much you try, I've been trying my whole life to get everything right. Trying to get everybody straightened out. Trying to get my life all good so everything is all good and it's always messy. Always. Somebody say amen. You thought you were the only one. Life is messy. And here's the other thing that this verse says. Jesus is messy. Not quite sure what to say about that. I'm not saying he sinned because he was God. And when I say messy, I don't mean he left his underwear on the floor or dirty dishes in the sink. Maybe he did. I don't know. I'm not saying either way. I'm not the pastor anyway. He is. What I'm saying is that Jesus came as a human being. And he was known as a human being by everybody that knew him. Jesus didn't float around 2 or 3 inches off the floor. Oh, Jesus floated to the meeting. Jesus didn't walk around with a shimmering garment. I'm here. Jesus was a man. The Bible says that the pre-existent Christ, who existed from eternity past, can you even imagine that? No, you can't. From all eternity past, knows no time, created the universe, entered into the chromosomal history of mankind, became a person. He probably had black hair and dark skin. He wasn't like the pictures we have in a lot of ways, you know, with blonde hair and a big Norwegian forehead. Like, who is that? I mean, that's cool if that's your picture, but I mean, he was a Palestinian Jew. Is anybody here with me? When he ate, he had to use the latrine. I don't even know what a latrine is. I just thought it would sound good in church. Whatever it is. He walked across the Judean desert. He stunk. He got hot. His clothes got dirty. He was a man. He became a man. And he didn't just become a man for 33 years and then go back up to a spot and say, whew, that was the longest 33 years of my life. He didn't go back to where he was. When he came to permanently be a man. Have you read your Bible? He exists in the same body that we will have when we die. A physical, spiritual body that still has the scars. The Bible says that he makes intercession for us with God as a man, as it were, right now. He still identifies with you. He's still in your corner. He's still alive. And he came to enter into the human race to make a difference. But he was known by everyone who knew him as a man. See, we forget that because we look back on it. You know what I mean? Like all these centuries. We look back on it, and all sometimes we can see is that Jesus was God. He was. But even his own friends and disciples didn't expect him to rise from the dead. Think about that. And he tried to tell them, but they couldn't hear it because they wanted a political Messiah. They thought he was going to take over the government, that he was going to give them pay increases or something, give them positions, you know, just do really wonderful things as a political Messiah on the earth. And even though he said, tear down this temple and it'll be raised up in 3 days, put a seed in the ground and it'll die and it'll come back, they didn't get it. John says that Mary Magdalene and her crew of friends went to put spices and herbs on Jesus at night. Are you following me? At night. I love that. And you know, we say, and it's true, that everyone abandoned Jesus. And it's true. No one was expecting him to rise again. But let's be clear. All the men went fishing and all the women stayed. And women still remember it today. Hello? The women did not expect him to rise from the dead, but they were there. I'll do the preaching. Listen, that's an important point. Do you know, and this is just a little mini sermon that I want you to hear, and that is sometimes we don't have faith, and we can still be faithful. And sometimes life is like that, isn't it? Sometimes you think, it's not all clear up here, I'm not sure what, but you're faithful. You show up at the grave. And they didn't show up to see the risen Jesus. They showed up just to be there. They went at night. And the Bible says that there were angels there. And you know, we don't really get an explanation. I like this because, you know, somewhere in the middle centuries, Reuben painted angels, right? And this is the white wings and the kind of the chubby face. They were Rubenesque, and that's how we think of angels. Well, that didn't happen until like, you know, 1,500 years later or something. So we don't even know what they look like. They were just angels there. And what they said was, he is not here. He is risen. Now, something else we do, Chad, is when we read that now, we gear up a song. It's Easter, yes. But listen, when they were there and heard that the first time, it wasn't all clicking in yet. Are you with me? Because the word risen there actually is in the New Testament 142 times. And it has a wide range of meaning. It means a person was seated and they got up. Same word. A person was sleeping and they woke up. Same word. It's used 142 times. So in essence, what they heard was, he is not here. He got up and left. And in fact, one of the versions says the women went back and told the disciples, someone took the body. Have you ever read that? This wasn't all clear. And here's the thing. When a man, when God becomes a man and lives on the earth and rises from the grave, it's good news for everybody. Here's another thing. These are just thoughts. I'm not saying they're true. You know, when we look back at the resurrection, we usually celebrate it very personally. And it should be. Jesus' resurrection, Johnny, is my eventual physical resurrection and my spiritual resurrection today. Can somebody say, giddy up? Is that true? Yes. And so when we celebrate the resurrection, it's a very personal celebration that we have. I'm risen from the dead. Jesus rose from the dead. Me too. But listen, it's bigger than that too. That's the gospel with the small g. Think about it. Let's don't miss how big the resurrection is. When those first century people, and they're not thinking, oh, gee, they're not, I'm not saying it's not true, I'm saying it is, but I'm saying they didn't connect all these dots. Then it say, oh, Jesus is risen from the dead, I am risen, he is risen from, hallelujah. They didn't have all that history, all that theology. They say, oh, therefore I am risen from the dead too. They would get that. All I'm trying to say is, when God, the pre-existent one of all eternity, enters into the human race and becomes material flesh and lives just like you and I and is crucified by the government and nobody is with him. Oh, this is good. This is what the gospel is all about. Sometimes we preachers, we get on Easter and we try to make this about the hope that we have. Listen, it's the hope that we have today. It's not the hope they had then. Do you know what I'm talking about? There was nobody that had faith. There was nobody. The people weren't going, he is going to rise from the dead because we have warm feelings of faith in us for what's going to happen good. No. You see, the gospel isn't just about my faith. It's not just about my hope in springtime for pastels and eggs and bunnies or whatever. See, you hear what I'm saying? Because that's really the gospel. The gospel is, I may falter. I may get the things wrong in my head. But Jesus has risen from the dead. And this fact stands alone. It stands alone in history. And all these documentarians and writers, they always write stuff about Jesus at Easter, you know, in Time and Newsweek and Discovery Channel. You watch that stuff. And they all say the same thing. They all say, we know Jesus lived in history. They all say that. And they all say, we know that Jesus was crucified. They all say that because it's history. And then they say, no, we don't know that he, you know, rose from the dead because that's religious stuff. Listen, they wouldn't have known about his life nor his death if he hadn't risen from the dead. There's either a God or there's not. He's either personal or he's not. If he's personal, there is no other candidate in all of human history that we would say, I think that guy might be God. No one. Do your homework. No one, it's not even close. This is all I want to say to you today. We celebrate gospel with the little g. We celebrate gospel with the big G. And the gospel with the big G is that God is going to redeem everything. Time and history, the planet, all tribes, all cultures, all nations. He's going to bring them all in. Because he came and rose from the dead, everything has hope. Even stuff that's invisible to my eye today. That's big. You know, in heaven it says that all tribes and nations and tongues are there worshiping him. Think about it just a minute and then I'll be gone. You know, that's heaven is the way things ought to be, right? Tribes, nations, tongues. That means everybody's going to be there. And there's still going to be tribes, nations. You hear what I'm saying? I don't know where I got it, but somewhere I just thought when we went to heaven, we would all have white wings and we'd just all be like homogenous. We're all going to be who we are. And God's going to redeem it. Hey, there's one more thing, I think. I have 5 more minutes, I think. On Thanksgiving, a couple months back, I got up in the morning, and before I got out of the room, I don't remember this actually, I fell down and fractured my skull. It was 6 o'clock in the morning. I don't remember how I fell, but I went into a seizure. Thank God Dee was there, and she works in an emergency room. Because in a few minutes, the ambulance came, and I was in the ICU for 4 days. In the ICU. I had never been in the hospital for myself my entire life. And I'm more than 31 years of age. This is what I want to say. I don't really know what I say. Just everything I said is what I want to say. But I want to say that not only is the resurrection good news that I can see and that I can't. Praise God. But it means that even the darkest of moments are subject to the light. Even death is subject to life. Always. And it took me about a month to sort of get out of the fog. And I'm very, very, very blessed. A whole bunch of things that could have happened didn't happen. And I was able to go back to my life and all of this. And just to say this, for someone who thinks they trust God, needed to trust God. Someone who thinks they have hope as long as he can control everything, has hope. And what I want to say is that there are dark times when you won't have faith. I'll say it. There are dark times when you won't show up to the tomb for the right reasons. There are times when you're not even sure about the resurrection, but the resurrection itself, not your faith, the resurrection itself, that it happened, will bring you joy and hope in the darkness. Put up this picture here. This is just to prove it, because Chad won't think I'm telling the truth. When you get blood in your brain, your eyes turn black. And you can't see it so much, but that's a green smoothie that my daughter made. The only reason I'm sucking it is because I'm half unconscious. So I wouldn't otherwise drink it. Take the picture down. But and the truth is that because Sam lost his bearings, and Sam even, I'm not even exaggerating, this is actually the truth, Sam lost his mind for a little while. Some things got me here because I have a greater hope than I have just here. And I want to say that sometimes that's all we need and that's better. I want to say sometimes up here We live messy lives. Somebody say amen. Amen. And I hate to say it, it's not going to change. They're just going to be messy. But Jesus lived a messy human life. Jesus exists in this moment in a resurrected human body that's spiritual and physical, and he's advocating for you. Give it up for Lauren, Lord. I was just thinking, I remember when Dana was in the church pregnant with you in the warehouse church, but that's a whole nother story. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you today for the gospel with a big G. We thank you that the resurrection means that all of life, the entire universe, things that we see and things that we cannot see will be redeemed, will be restored, because you are the resurrected one. And we thank you that today in our messy lives, that you are working not just in our brains, but in our heart and in our spirit to renew us, as the Bible says, day by day. And maybe today you would like to say, you know, I'm not perfect. I never will be. I don't have it figured out in my mind, but maybe that's okay. Like the preacher says, maybe it's okay, because in my heart, I know that Jesus is God and that he loves me. If you would like to say yes to that prayer, you know, I might need to read it, so go ahead and put it up there. Let's all say this out loud. Would you pray this with me? Let's do this. Lord Jesus, I invite you into my life. I believe that you died on the cross for my sin and rose from the grave 3 days later. Every failure and sin in my life, you the right to direct my life from this day forward, myself to learning the scripture, living in fellowship with God's people, following you in water baptism. Let's give him praise for that, everyone. Now just one more thing. If you just close your eyes, I'm going to take just a moment and just get into your business a little. Because I know that you can be in church. And in fact, I know that you can even believe in Jesus in your head and still wrestle so much with some of that darkness, some of that doubt, some of that faithlessness that creeps into all of our lives sometimes. And I want to join you in saying there's great hope. There's great power. Most of all, there's great love of our Savior that gives us such hope. So Lord, today I pray for my friends, and that you would give us the peace today, knowing that not everything's going to be settled in our minds. But somewhere in our heart, somewhere in our being, there's hope and life and resurrection. Would you receive that right now? Would you just say, yeah, I got it. I receive it, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for rising from the dead. Thank you for still being here alive. In me. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Oh, is it a good Easter Sunday, North Rock? Yeah, it's good. It's good. Well, we want to thank you for being here today. But I did just want to say the most that we want you to have is a hope of the future, of knowing that Jesus is resurrected from the grave. And because of that, we are being resurrected. So we just hope that you heard good news today for you personally, for our world, and for your life. And if you prayed that prayer that we prayed from the screen earlier today, For the first time, we have a gift for you. We want to help you get started in your journey with Jesus. That's the entire purpose that this church exists, to gather, to grow in Jesus, and to go back out into the world as his disciples. Amen. So let's pray. We'll dismiss. If you prayed that prayer, I want to meet you after the service. We've got some gifts for you. And if you have little ones with you, you might pay attention to the front lawn over here on the west side on your way out, okay? Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for your goodness, your mercy, your grace, your power in this place. Lord, we acknowledge that we have dark days. We have challenges that we face. But Lord, we take hope. We take strength. We take great power in knowing that you are with us, that you have resurrected from the dead, and you are resurrecting us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. Hey, have a great week. God bless you. Thank you for being here.
Thanks for listening to the North Rock Church Podcast. For more information about our church and upcoming events, check us out at northrockchurch.com, or you can find us on Facebook or Instagram.